Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I'm Douglas Impoga, and this evening we'll talk about the impact of climate change in Africa. And with us tonight is my colleague, Paul Ondiho of VOA Africa TV. Paul, welcome to the show once again.
Good to be back, Douglas.
Thank you very much. And I also have another colleague, Patrick Day of VOA. Patrick, it's been quite a while.
It's been a while, but thank you. It's been nice being here again.
Thank you very much. And we expect to be joined by Agu Ashne. Agu Ashne is an environmental journalist and covers climate change issues a lot. We're still trying to get in contact, and he's in Texas here in the US. As soon as we connect, he'll be joining us on the show. Other gentlemen, once again, welcome to the program. As I said, our topic tonight is climate change, the impact on Africa. According to the World Bank, Africa is becoming the most exposed region in the world to the impacts of climate change. In sub-Saharan Africa, the report says, extreme weather will cause dry areas to become drier and wet areas wetter. Agricultural yields will suffer from crop failures, and disease will spread to new altitudes. It's projected by the year 2030 that 90 million people in Africa will be exposed to malaria, already the biggest killer in sub-Saharan Africa. Now, gentlemen, this is a sobering report, and science has shown, the majority of scientists believe in climate change. But let's begin from the basics. Are people in Africa, the common man in Kisumu, in Rukungiri, in Accra, anywhere, do they realize the gravity of this problem? Let's begin with Patrick here.
I don't know whether they do, because again, I think in most instances, people are concerned about what their day-to-day life is. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that there is information out there enough to reach the people that need to be reached for things. For example, in the rural areas, because of energy, we know that people, cut trees down,
yes,
because they need firewood for cooking.
And charcoal.
And charcoal and things like that. I don't think in their mind they really think about the long-term effect of that, mm-hmm, other than what do I need now, mm-hmm, for my life now.
But Paul, they may not understand the long-term impact, but there are visible signs that things are changing. I've traveled across the continent, and people say, seasons are changing. It's raining more, or it's getting drier. These things they are seeing, but do you think they don't understand what's the cause?
I think most of them do, and for sure climate change is for real. It's happening. When you drive around, when you travel across Africa, you see different patterns. The weather patterns are changing. The things that people used to do, that even the planting seasons are sooner or later going to change, because when you talk about rural Africa, most of them are what? Farmers.
Mm.
And they haven't been getting the same yields that they used to get. Things have been happening. So when you look at it from that perspective, climate change is real. Maybe what the governments need to do that they haven't been doing is to sensitize these people about the real effects of a climate change, because it's happening and it's unstoppable unless governments do something about it.
Talking of governments, Patrick, isn't it incumbent on these governments, first of all, are they doing enough, the government themselves?
I don't think they do. I don't think they are doing enough. I think they touch on the issues on the side, on the peripherals, but I don't think there is a real concerted policy process-driven policy that addresses these things to the extent that they should. To answer your question, I don't think they're doing enough to do, there's no policy in place. At least I don't know of any government that has a policy that is, it, you know, they drive towards to help mitigate that.
Yeah, I know the African Union has been pushing governments to come up with a policy that addresses climate change. But of course, as things go, especially in most African countries, things are too slow. So some of these governments haven't really been up to speed trying to address climate change. But you also have to look at it in terms of do these people in power, our leaders, do they understand what is climate change? Obviously, when you look at even some of the biggest countries here, let's say, for instance, the United States, there is so much chatter, almost so much talk about climate change. Some think it's real, some think it's a hoax. So when it comes to Africa, we are yet to really understand what are the impacts of climate change. So when you zero it down to even to the ordinary person, it's very, very hard for them to understand the effects of climate change. If their leaders don't understand it, how are the ordinary people going to understand it?
Yeah, but given the fact that Africa is in a poor state of economic development, and some people have said, some scientific research and reports have pointed out that Africa actually is more vulnerable to climate change than other continents. Why shouldn't these leaders be doing something at least?
I don't know. Maybe they're very busy, because of the ignorance. They think it's something that is really not in their time. So again, for me, I think it's that lack of looking at their country 10, 20, 30 years from now, long-term outlook. Mm-hmm. They're concerned mostly with now and their leadership now. And so until that changes, until they start looking at their countries, individual countries, in the far distant future and mm-hmm. what this would cause the countries and the population, maybe that's why they're not looking at it that way.
I might also say maybe I can look at it in two folds. First of all, there is no political will to address the climate change or concerns. And secondly, we lack the research, the basic research just to come and tell us that, oh, the reason such and such land, such and such a wetland has dried is probably because of climate change. I don't think we have researchers on the ground out there trying to figure out what is it that can be done. When you even to this day, when they are talking about it, it's at the United Nations. Everybody is talking about what their countries, individual countries, are trying to do. When it comes to Africa, it's just more of the same. We are not getting the answers that we want from our leaders who are representing us at the UN conference talking about climate change. It's more of a wishy-washy. They're not coming up with concrete ideas of how to combat climate change.
But I think another thing also, just thinking about it, not a big disaster has happened in Africa that has been directly linked to something that would be caused by, you know, climate change. For example, here we have the hurricanes, what happened in New Jersey, New York a couple of years ago, which can be explained to be part of climate change. The tsunami in Tokyo, you know, high rising waters and all that, we can be attributed to that. The melting of the ice in the north, in the north, we can be attributed that. So within Africa, I'm not sure, and I'm coming from a point of I don't know whether there's been a big disaster that can be directly related to.
Let me interject there. Actually, there are reports and studies done that show that water pollution and global warming will cause a huge scarcity of water,
yeah,
and increased number of natural diseases such as drought. Disasters such as drought, floods, and cyclones on the continent. And coastal systems and low-lying areas will be at threat of being submerged by rise in sea level. So we're talking about coastal areas in Africa, which are...
But until that happens...
But there are signs that if you cut down all the trees and you do all that, the droughts have been on the continent. People are seeing this. Not that they don't know.
Yeah, there have been droughts, but again, before, these droughts seemed like they've
they are just an act of God or something?
Not really an act of God, but there have been droughts in certain areas and whatnot. But I don't think it is an immediate disaster that affects people right away and they can right away see it.
I beg to differ slightly with my colleague Patrick. I think, and I would like to reiterate what I said earlier, I think climate change is real. When you talk about drought, it's happening. You go to Somalia, you go to Ethiopia, you go to even Kenya. You've had serious periods of drought.
Yes.
You go to Uganda. You have these torrential rainfalls that have been causing havoc all over the place. Recently, I was reading stuff in some of the Ugandan papers where floods were just sweeping people, killing people. So all this is attributed to climate, the changing patterns. So for me personally, I think it's real. It's happening.
No, it is real. I'm not denying that. I'm saying those things that happen when the floods happen, they're explained a different way. So people don't have a direct connection to the big floods that happen to climate change. Or maybe it has not been explained that way. So people don't have that connection between what is happening, between the drought and climate change, between the flood and climate change. It has not been explained in a way that people understand and can connect the two.
Now, the all these governments are ministries of natural resources, of whatever, of water, of... why they and I believe those people in those ministries ought to know what's going on. Why are they not? Why do you think they are not doing something about it?
And again, I don't know to the extent what that they're doing, not doing anything about it. But just to give an example, recently in Kenya, a phenomenon that people have never realized. It rained, and then there seemed to, in this place that usually rains, but they never saw this thing before. It looked like it had snowed in Kenya.
Mm.
The only snow that is in Kenya is either on Mount Kenya or Mount Kilimanjaro. Mm. But on the ground where people live, they showed this video, and people were confused. What is this white stuff? You know, that actually blanketed the area.
Mm.
Nobody explained that this is a phenomenon that could be part of that, you know, drastic change in climate, and therefore this happens. You know.
And Paul, there are those who have said, and some of you may have done reporting on this, water pollution. People, governments allowing people to cultivate or to build in wetlands, cutting down all the trees near them, the deforestation they call it. That these are the primary drivers of making things worse. And the governments don't seem to be, both the people and the government don't seem to care. It's as if there is no tomorrow.
Obviously, I think I could not agree more with those reports. I think this has more to do with people really not taking certain responsibilities. In these countries, in developed countries, you see countries or even communities encouraging people to plant trees, not to build in wetlands. But when you go to most African countries, it's... more of the opposite. People tend to build in wetlands. People tend to cut down all the trees. Obviously, if you keep cutting trees, if you keep building in wetlands, chances are that this whole place is going to dry down. If you cut the entire forest and you build, you're going to lack the kind of rainfall that you've been having for a long period of time. So this is, again, going back to what Patrick said, I think the problem lies solely on our governments and not sensitizing people, and people not taking responsibility of their responsibility for some of their actions.
Mm-hmm. Well, hold your thought, Patrick. We're going to take a short break. I'm sure I'll come back and continue a discussion of the impact of climate change in Africa after this short break.
African Music Mix.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African Music Mix on the Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis.
Koli
south and from the east to the west, the African Music Mix plays only the best. Tune in from 0 to 300 hours UTC and from 11 to 1300 hours UTC every single day on The Voice of America.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable. We're coming to you live from the Voice of America series here in Washington. Our topic tonight is the impact of climate change in Africa. Our panelists are my colleagues, Paul Undiho of UTV Africa and Patrick Deya of VOA. And we're expected to be joined by Agu Ashne, an environmental journalist, but unfortunately we're unable to get in touch with him. Hope you'll join us some other time. Now, and I'm your host, Douglas Mbuga, in Studio 9. Gentlemen, we've been looking at the causes and all that. I mean, before we go to the solutions, to what extent do you think poverty is a driver of climate change on the continent?
I think it is. And again, just as we talked about earlier on, people are more concerned about their day-to-day life. Climate change is such maybe a distant effect that they don't, it doesn't feature in their day-to-day life. Mm. Basically, that's it. So I need firewood or I need land and there's no land and, you know, you go and cut down trees. People settle in areas because they need where to live. So poverty, and of course poverty comes with, you know, some other factors of poverty. It's also just the level of education, the level of information that is to these people, where that information comes from, how accurate the information is, and do they really seek that information? Mm-hmm. The information may be there, but do they really seek that information? Because it does not affect them right now, right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I personally don't think there is a direct correlation between poverty and climate change. Because, let's face it, you look at the biggest emitters are the United States, it's China, it's India. Yes, you could argue that some of these countries are highly developed countries, right? Then where does poverty fall in? Yes, maybe Patrick makes a great case there when he says all these things maybe could lead to cutting down forests, people wanting to settle in a place. But I don't see a direct relationship between poverty and climate change. I think it's something that... actually, when you look at Africa, Africa is being affected not because of what they are doing on the continent, because actually Africa emits less carbon emissions compared to all these other countries. So for us, I think we are paying a price for what these developed countries are doing.
But then other people would argue, and I'll push it to both of you, that if, for instance, there was rural electrification and people would cut down less trees, and like now the case is in Ethiopia where they're trying to construct the Renaissance Dam, that would give a lot of people, millions of people, electricity. That would mitigate some of these factors. It's true, of course, that the harm was done in the past by the developed countries who are still emitting a lot of gases in the atmosphere. But wouldn't that sort of help and mitigate? Because if it's like looking at two related issues. The West emits, the developed world emits these gases in the atmosphere. Then the developing world like Africa are following the same trend of emission. That makes matters worse.
I think for us, we are trying to address the challenges that have been caused by some of these Western countries.
And control the future as well.
Yes. Obviously, we all need... efficient energy stoves. We need more efficient energy coming into our houses, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, for us, I think we are trying to address a problem that has been caused by these developed countries. Because, okay, let's say you even cut down an entire forest. It's only like 0.0%. Okay, I'm not good at numbers, but it's only like 0.0% of what you are emitting compared to these developed countries. So I think for us it's more of a precautionary measure that we are taking. We are saying, okay, let's build a dam, let's provide the electricity for our people. But we are trying to address some of the problems that were caused by these developed countries.
You agree?
Yes, I agree with Paul, you know, largely. Because, again, it is true that the climate change, carbon, you know, the carbon emission is primarily from the developed world.
Mm-hmm.
But when, if your question was, does poverty not aggravate the matter? I think it does to some extent because of the, you know, not when you don't know something, well, or when you have what you need right now, and that's what your concentration is, you really could care less of what, you know, is going to happen in the future. You want it right now. But the truth is, if it's just about, you know, where does it occur? In the first world, you, as Paul said earlier on, we have people in the first world who are not poor, who are very well educated, but would still question whether, you know, they would talk about weather change as if it is climate change.
Yeah, but those are the extreme. Those are on the fringes now because science has there's an agreement at least that.
Yeah, but it still it still has a, you know. I don't know whether you've seen this news where factories really coal factories and whatnot, for the number of emission they do, they pollute, you know, rivers with, you know, this has been running in the news, and authorities that are on the conservative end that does not, you know, believe in climate change prevent you know, people who would like to report on it. So again, I think the question of climate change is much, much bigger than just poverty or just the Africa's situation. I think it's a combination of a lot of things.
Well, as you all know, as our listeners may know, September normally is the United Nations General Assembly time when all leaders congregate in New York and talk out issues.
Mm-hmm.
This time, climate change has been on the agenda and they're trying to do something about it. Let me begin with Paul. Do you see the UN coming out with something, some well-worked-out formula of how to mitigate the impact of climate change?
I think it's more rhetoric than substance. Yes, they can talk, but as long as United States, China, India are on the periphery, they are not being part of the conversation, because these are the biggest emitters, and they're asking the young boys at the little small countries all over the place to be part of the conversation, but they're not directly engaging in a conversation. Each one of them is claiming that, hey, look, we are doing this on our part, we are trying to address issues of climate change in our country, but they don't want to engage in a larger conversation. I don't think this conversation is going anywhere. Like I said earlier, it's more rhetoric than substance.
I agree with Paul. It's more rhetoric than substance, because again, first, there's going to have to be a convincing to the African governments that this is a good policy to follow.
At which point
have resources on that policy. Do they have the resources to even put on, you know?
The trouble is at the point you refer to, at the point where a disaster happens, it may be too late to address this
exactly.
problem.
But until that disaster happens, you know, it's not their problem. And therefore, they may not really address it as a matter of urgency.
Yeah, but something got to be done, because we can't wait for that disaster to happen.
obviously, the whole world needs to be engaged in this conversation.
Yes.
And I think coming up, when they go to Paris, maybe this time around, they'll come up with some concrete policy to address climate change. They've tried. They tried in Copenhagen, it failed. They tried in Durban, it failed.
Mm.
Last year, they went to Brazil, it failed. So, not because people are not really paying attention to what's going on. It's because they can't agree on who does what, who wants to do what. It actually ends up being more of who is going to take responsibility for what they have done.
Mm.
And the conversation in most cases just ends up not addressing anything. So I think what needs to happen is to have these major players come onto the table and have a conversation, because they should get out of the business of lecturing other countries to do so. When instead of lecturing other countries to do so, they should also be part of the conversation.
Plus, remember that this climate change issue is a big economic, has a very big economic impact on this country. And the, one of the primary reasons why all these conversations go nowhere and the talks fail is the difference of approach of all the countries. Some, you know, countries like China think that United States cannot dictate on them on the the standards of emission of whatever their factories emit. So the disagreement comes directly from how they look at how this will have an impact on the economy.
Yeah, but to the accurate, the Chinese have tried to do something. So has the, even the US is trying to do something. They have put a lot of measures in place to mitigate some of the impact. But we are running out of time. Finally, how do you see the thing evolving? Shall we be talking about the same thing next year, or something may happen in the next climate summit?
I hate to be a pessimist, but in this particular case, I'm going to be one. I think this conversation is not going anywhere. We'll be talking about the same thing next year.
Patrick?
Until the gap between the need for development and the type of development that is or economic impact has for each country, until that gap is resolved or narrowed, I think the climate change issue is going to be a very dodgy one.
But then, at this pace, because the impact is actually being felt in some ways. If you refer to the recent
Katrina.
These are things people are seeing. So maybe there should be an agency to address the problem.
I think they have made some strides in addressing the problem. But on a larger scale, I think they're still very, very far away from coming closer to a solution.
So until maybe one city is swallowed by the sea, that's when people wake up?
Probably. Until one of the big icebergs break up and end up in New York.
I think for the first time, they've managed to raise awareness. I saw those demonstrations in New York. They literally took over the entire city. Of course, they had the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. They had the former US Vice President Al Goa. I mean,
hundreds of thousands of people participated.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, in that particular case, they managed to steal the media attention, to stay in the news, and put climate change on the headlines.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us, every human being on the surface of the earth, to be involved, because the impacts of this climate change won't select. I mean, it affects everybody.
It does.
Yeah. So, well...
And unfortunately for Africans, we are going to suffer more almost out of the all this...
That's right. I think that's true. Well, we have run out of time. This was the time we had for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Paul, Patrick, thanks for joining me on the show.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
You're welcome. And our producer, as usual, has been Jackson Mvunganyi. Our engineer tonight was Michael Dubinsky. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. And if you missed any part of this program or you want to listen to it again, just go to our main website at www.vonews.com. Click on programs and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. You can listen to our program again right there. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. I'm your host, Douglas Simpuka in Washington, wishing you all the best.